mistake. If you see your current financial situation as a mistake, if you see whatever is hurting you as a mistake, not a sin, what happens is this. You've trained your mind since the earliest of childhood that it's not cool to make mistakes. Right? So the minute you tell yourself a mistake, your mind automatically goes into correction mode. When you call it a sin or a guilt, your mind doesn't do anything but bring you punishment, because that's what guilt is. It's I deserve punishment thought. Then the mind creates some incident, accident, relationship, situation that causes you pain because you believe you deserve punishment. If you say what I did was a mistake, then your mind automatically wants to correct that error. It automatically wants to correct that error. And now, since you've given it up to the Holy Spirit, you said, decide for me, Holy Spirit, then your mind starts to respond to the dictates of a higher power and corrects it through a higher power, as opposed to just doing the same thing that you've tried before, which the Course describes as trying to come up with who needs to make the sacrifice for you to be happy. That's what the Course calls our plan. It's as I sit back and I try to think of who needs to make me feel better, what outside of myself needs to make me feel better, what is it I need to manipulate out here to make me feel better. That's my plan. That's my plan. And that's what I'm going to do if I believe in sin and guilt. I'm going to punish myself by giving myself a physical situation of some type that brings me pain. That is my solution, because I'm bad. If I say it's a mistake, then my mind immediately wants to correct the error. That's two different ways of the situation being handled. Now, we live in a world where guilt is the very glue that holds everything together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll say it again. We live in a world where guilt and fear is what holds everything together. It is the underlying content of most decisions. They're based on defense. Mm-hmm. An attack. Mm-hmm. Most human decisions are based on how can I keep myself safe and how can I keep myself from being hurt. So everything that most people do is coming out of the belief in threat and attack. Mm-hmm. So the belief produces an experience of it, and then they feel justified in being even more defensive, and then it creates another situation that justifies their suspicion, and it makes them go deeper into suspicion, and it's like this iron band being laid one on top of another, one on top of another, one on top of another. And then the person says, well, how do I get out of this vicious circle? I get out of this vicious circle through what the Course calls forgiveness. What does that mean? It means no matter what's happened to me in the past, I'm going to walk into my next situation with the attitude that I'm here to bring peace into this situation, and I'm not here to attack anyone in this situation. I am here to bring peace to this situation. It's not complicated. It's me making a decision that I am not here to project or to blame or to attack. I am going to stop the karma and the pain that I attract to myself by no longer coming from a space of projection, attack, and blame. Now, since it's a brand new thing I'm attempting here, I'm still going to see a few orders come back from the kitchen that I ordered before I changed my mind about the dish. You understand what I'm saying? And so don't freak out when you say, I just want peace and love, and then somebody call you a bitch or a bastard or make you mad. Oh, I made the decision today that I wasn't going to be mad. Why am I having something that upsets me? Baby, you don't know how many orders you put in. Your whole life has been an order up to this point, right? Right? And so the Course says, well, you are innocent. You know, you are innocent. And the Course says, we're not insane. It says, we learned insane lessons. It's like going to a mental institution and being taught by the inmates. And so you can just picture a big mental institution, okay? And then and everybody in the mental institution, the women are pregnant.
Okay.
Got it?
Oh, no.
And then the women who are mentally retarded have children. And one lady thinks she's the Queen of England, so she teaches her child he's Prince Charles. She's not bad, she's just insane. Right? And then she turns around and she teaches her child an insane lesson. That's what happened to us. Our parents learned totally insane lessons of separation and fear, or whatever they learned. They turned around and then they shared with us what they learned. We learned the insane lessons. We tried to live according to the insane rules. And the one thing we all have in common from trying to use the insane rules the course says is you've noticed that whatever it is that you have achieved that has not completely satisfied you. He says that is the hallmark of learning insane lessons. If you learn insane lessons, you walk around and you're never really satisfied about anything that you really achieved. He says that's how you know. You've learned an insane lesson, but it doesn't mean you're insane. It just means you've learned some insane lessons. It doesn't mean you're insane. You could have a very sane relationship, but you've learned how to have insane relationships. You could have prosperity and abundance, but you just learned the thoughts of poverty and lack and fear. We're sane beings. We're loving beings who've learned insane lessons, joined with other people who have the same insane lessons, and we call it a culture or society. That's all it is. If you lived in another country that said it was okay to have 20 wives, then it wouldn't be no big deal. Culture and morality has nothing to do with universal law. It's what we made up. It's just the rules we made up from country to country, society to society. So we're making ourselves feel guilty about rules that don't even have anything to do with God.
Yeah.
You're feeling guilty about man-made laws.
Yeah.
You know? So keep in mind that guilt is your clue that you're reacting to some rule that didn't come from God. Guilt means you're reacting to some idea that did not come from spirit. Spirit wouldn't try to make you feel guilty. Spirit would just give you the answer and correct the error lovingly. Spirit would never berate you for what a mistake that you made. Spirit would just say, you're a child of God. You don't deserve to suffer. Let me show you another way to look at this situation. It's only people who don't know how to love who feel like a person has to deserve it before they can receive it. That's the people who don't know how to love. The person who needs it the most is the person who's forgotten it the most.
Damn.
You know, if I'm scared half to death and I feel separate and I feel afraid, I don't need you to withhold from me. I need you to show me I'm safe and that I'm loved. We do. That's what we do. It's like, unless I make my call for love in a way you like, then you won't hear it. You know, if I come up to you and I said, you know, help me. I'm so afraid. And then you go, oh, come here. You're okay. All right. But if I walk up to you and I say, I can't stand you, you dog. I can't stand you. I can't stand you. Then we go, well, I can't stand you either. Or get out of my face. You see what I'm saying? I don't see that as a call for love.
Right.
Because you gotta make your call to me in the way I like. Or I won't even see it.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
Now if you come at me like that, then what I'm going to attempt to do when you come at me like that is to recognize it's a call for love.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily like it.
Right.
It doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily smile because you called me out of my name. But if I can see it, it's what it is. A lack. A fear. Someone who is afraid. Then what I want to do if the person is afraid is not make them more afraid if possible. And what would that be? That would mean I would try to be as peaceful as I could in that situation. I don't